Good morning. Today is Thursday, November the 2nd. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How's your day going?
I can't tell how far we're into it. About an hour into it. So far, so good.
Good. Excellent.
Anything weird happen overnight?
Oh, a couple of our guys got into a knockdown, drag-out fight with some shoplifting suspects down at Ray's Food Place in McKinleyville. So our guys are okay, and a couple of bad guys going to jail. So
we were at another grocer, a little closer to our home. I guess, and I don't know what is proper, what is recommended, what you guys suggest. Don't apprehend. Don't stop. And it's like, well, isn't that like carte blanche to shoplift? If you just let them go and, you know, you yell at them, I mean, you know, that's not going to break their heart or anything.
Right. As far as shoplifting goes, we leave it up to the security and employers to make that decision of how the employees want to engage. We want to stop shoplifting, but we're not going to tell anyone to go after these people and use force to take them into custody. And so we want them to do what they're trained to do and what their policies, procedures dictate. But there are stores and there's great security personnel in place that do apprehend these guys that do steal consistently throughout the county. And it makes our job easy when we get there and they're in custody and they have everything on surveillance and we're able to wrap these people up and take them. But what people don't know, too, is if they shoplift and the suspect uses forces to get away while he's still, you know, holding
force could
stuff,
be like struggling.
Struggling, pushing, you know, making a threat.
Just a real simple, I mean, like playground kind of things.
Well, I mean, if he uses force to try and get away with after stealing something, then it becomes a robbery, and then it becomes a felony, and so then they go to jail for robbery. So
that's what I was going to ask you. I know the not cite and release, but citations pretty much aren't worth the ink they're is used to write on the piece of paper.
Well, it sets up a court date, and that's what the citation does. So whether or not they show up to court is going to be up to them, but it doesn't necessarily take care of the immediate problem and get that person out of the community. So.
Well, and let me okay, I got 25 citations. Does anybody care? And haven't shown up.
We do care. So we do have, if there's multiple citations.
Does the system react might be the better
yes,
way to say it.
Yes, it does. So what happens is if someone doesn't show up and has lots of failures to appear, then we do keep those people in jail because we have a risk assessment that's all about the likelihood of someone showing up to court. And based on the seriousness of the offense, whether or not they're on probation, and then prior failed to appear. So
One of the more frustrating things, I mean, texting and driving, rolling through not recognizing that there's a stop sign. It's more of a gentle suggestion.
Right.
Weaving in and out, speeding, I mean, all these kinds of things. You know, everybody kind of sees, you know, victimless. Well, no, they're not. You know, shoplifting, okay, nobody gets hurt. Fine. But we're all paying for it.
You know, we are.
There's a 2 or 3% ding or a surcharge because you're not going to have your employee stop somebody and, you know, it goes through the network.
Right.
That, hey, these guys aren't going to do anything. They may slap you on the hand or they may yell at you as you're going out the door, but, hey, that's it.
Right.
Pew! You know, it's almost stupid not to.
Right.
I mean, you know, if we could set aside the morals and the ethics of everything.
Right, right.
So why would anybody set that up? And then why would we as a community be willing to pay 3, 4, 5% premium charge because they're not doing their job?
Right. You know, we've seen a real shift in society where they just become very, very self-centered and people are doing what's right in their own eyes, really. And they don't disregard what the law really says. And it might do to mental illness or drug abuse or whatever else. But the fact is that there's got to be
even
consequences.
Worse than, I mean, if they're out on the street and they've got mental illness,
right?
Shouldn't society or somebody be looking to help them out instead of let them continue to go down that path?
Yeah, we do. We do have those areas that that we do offer assistance. The county, I think, bends over backwards. We have so many nonprofits that are there to help people that are involved in drugs and want to get out of that lifestyle. But
not personally involved.
But you know what? It's like someone's got
to
be willing.
Treatment needs to be in that phrase there, bud, or you're going to get lit up by somebody.
Yes, sorry. Treatment. So that's true. But anyway, so the fact is that unless they really want that help, they're not going to get it. And we can't make these people, you know, really go out there and take the help. They got to be willing to be participants in their own, you know, sobriety and their own success in getting out of that destructive lifestyle.
Now, I know there's a phrase that you guys with the badges have, harden the target. Okay, I mean, you tell us that about shopping at Christmas. We're told that about just kind of around the house.
Right.
Why isn't that same phrase applied across the board in the retail sector? And the service sector, and here's ways to, and have the workshops, and do all the things that should be taken advantage of by right. these various retailers instead. And I know it's an outside chain, it's a little bit different than, you know, if it's a mom-and-pop local operator. But I would think the local operator's probably already doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're the ones that have the alligators and the tar pits and everything that's there to dissuade folks from grabbing and running.
Right. Well, the problem is that people still want to have a storefront that's inviting. And if you put all those you know, systems in place, then maybe people won't want to come into your store. So it's got to be a balance, you know. But you have to have those systems in place. And so that's the reality of it. Brian.
KINS. Yeah, it's really a good thing we don't stream this show. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel, who now is more familiar with the alphabet.
Well,
congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, at least certain key letters of the alphabet.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, you know, I'm here to help, babe. With some of the challenges that are out there, if this was pick a year in the past, we're talking about harvest. Okay, well, that's not harvest. That's a 12-month event these days.
Right.
I know that you were concerned, though, about some of the trimmigrants coming in and some of, you know, this time of the year, what's it going to be like with some of the changes that are going on. Da, 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 da. What's this year been like?
Yeah, you know, it has been a little bit better. We still see an influx and a ton of people from outside of the country coming in to Humboldt County. And, you know, these aren't
forcibly
just...
Forcibly or...
Well, these are the people that we see. These are the people that we see that are at, you know, the different intersections with their cute cardboard sign that has scissors
so
on it.
Okay, so these aren't the kids kidnapped out in the woods kind
of thing. But, you know, we see a lot of these people from Europe, from South America coming up here, traveling, and then participating in this trimmer program that we have up here, this, you know, 2-3 month program.
More of an exchange program.
Yeah, but so there has been a little bit reduced. I did hear that it has been a little bit less traffic than last year, but still it's there, and we're still getting reports of people that are come here to trim that are now missing. We have got reports of people being held against their will, going to these marijuana farms, cultivation sites throughout the county, not really knowing where they are, without cell phone coverage, and women being held against their will, being forced to do things
The sex trade.
The sex trade, yeah. Absolutely. And then kicked out of the cultivation site, the marijuana farm, without even being paid. And they might be there for a month, month and a half, and then forcibly raped and then kicked out. That is going on. And so the reputable permitted marijuana grows do have licenses. They are employers. They are employing people within the county through legal means. And so I'd be leery of anyone getting into a car and driving, you know, from the Arcata Plaza up to some unknown person's marijuana grow off 299 and participating in this event. You are taking your life in your own hands. And a person that came up here, HSU student, female, who came up here a year ago, and she had a tough time with grades. And so our friend said, well, we'll just go trim for 6 months. And she did. And she just got out of it. And she just described being held, tortured. She's seen people get carted off and not known where they've been taken. And this person was,
all the stuff that we've heard about.
All the things we've heard about. And this person was scared. She did not want to make a report. And she talked about being forcibly raped, and then having other females, you know, get paid more if they want to trim topless. I mean, all this stuff that is just atrocious that you don't hear about, you know, when it comes to marijuana. But as the price keeps getting lower and lower, labor has become a liability to a lot of the people that are growing marijuana. So they want to do a slave trade, so to speak. There's a lot of promises on the front end. There's not a lot of delivery on the back end. A lot of times people get really, really hurt when it comes time for payday.
So at this point, you're not seeing less grows as the margin is shrinking. You're just seeing more of a tendency to, you can't say be illegal because it's illegal, but more illegal?
Yeah, there are. We've seen an uptick of more illegal grows. You know, the estimate's gone up, you know, from 10,000, 12,000, now all the way up to 20,000 marijuana grows in the county. And they are popping up everywhere. And, you know, there's still, you know, about 2,000 that are in the permit process. And John Ford of the Planning Department is doing his best to try and get the people through the permit process. And but it's just that other. There's the other 15,000 that are out there. The people are in here and doing whatever they can to grow as much as they can, and as quick as they can. And
so where does that leave you guys? I mean, are you going to go out stomping in the woods more?
So
or where they're buying their materials? Are you post somebody there and write license plates down or follow or monitor them?
So we still get complaints daily. So what we do is we prioritize our complaints. We go after the biggest ones.
But how do you know if they're big based on the retail purchase?
Well, you know, we do overflights. We do overflights. We also look at a lot of the satellite imagery. You know, we have there's
how current are those?
You know, we've gotten software, and the planning department's got software that's days old. And
so these are satellite?
These are satellite. Okay. This is satellite imagery that comes across, and that, you know, we do time comparisons, history of the properties, and we can see the progression from 2014 to now and all the illegal grading and the road systems that set up and all the hoops they have set up. And we can make that determination that there's illegal activity going on.
Somehow that's kind of cool, but somehow it's kind of scary that every 2 days you get an update of.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I'm not worrying too much about what the deck looks like, you know, in the backyard, but
that's right.
That there's that kind of ability,
right,
at that granular enough level, so you can tell if there's a, you know, yes, somebody's out there leveling off some
it
property.
It makes our job a whole lot easier, because usually we had to drive out to these areas and get eyes on, and then we have, you know, or do overflights. So this is something that we can really make a lot of fun at.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Billy, looking at some of the challenges, I went out to one of our transmitter sites yesterday, and I know Tom had talked about the state of the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I know you talked about the roads. Boy, are they bad.
Yes.
That really is a challenge for you guys, I would imagine, getting from point A to point B in a lot of the areas that we were just referencing.
Right.
Not because it's a dirt road, but because the asphalt road is falling down or cracking or separating, or all of a sudden it goes to, you need to have the official half track to get over a quarter mile and you're back on pavement. How challenging is it to get there if you're not using the official helicopter?
Yeah. I wish we had a helicopter.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah. So it is a public safety issue, and that's why this was a part of Measure Z originally. And the fact is that when we go out to Petrolia, Honeydew, that area, Alder Point Road, those areas, Bell Springs Road, these areas where they are underserved by law enforcement. But when we do get emergency call out there, we have to get out there quickly. And it's an hour and a half drive, and it is dangerous. And we could lose a tire, that kind of stuff. And that's just us driving. If you're driving that every day, it's got to be a level of frustration that's beyond, beyond me. But the fact is that, these winter storms that we had last year were brutal, and that we did get some state funding that's going to come down, and but it always takes time. It really, really does.
So we have post-construction season, so now we're 2 years out and compounded even
that's
more.
That's the frustrating part. Maybe somehow we get all that winter storm money a little bit early so we can actually repair the roads before the next winter, because who knows what this winter's going to bring. And if it's half what it was last year, we're going to have trouble. Those potholes are going to get huge, and they're going to have more and more slides, and it's going to be twice as much money to repair the road.
Do other sheriffs have that as a concern?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Northern California sheriffs we're all in the same boat. We're not large tax bases, so the infrastructure is lacking, and so we have the same struggles, and we talked to Sacramento and we talked to our legislative aides and say, what can we do to try and push more money to the rural areas? We've seen the economic economics in the Bay Area, Sacramento, LA, they're booming. Things are good, But in the North State, we don't see that as much. We don't see that tax benefit really coming in, even though times are good. Times are good right now. But the fact is that we don't see those. We don't see those tangibles. Our roads being built and that kind of stuff. Now we have a new gas tax. And
getting a little excited there.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Do you guys get to pay for it? Do you pay on the gas?
I don't even know. I don't know if we actually pay the taxes.
You are in charge of the budget, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, but what we do is we rent all of our cars basically from the county. So they incorporate gas in that. So we have one charge per mile. So that's how the county does it.
If it bumps 20 cents or 12 cents,
it's probably going to be an impact. But if it benefits the roads, then we need to see that benefit. I mean, this can't just be another tax that we don't see the benefit from. I think we're taxed enough here in California. And so it's bothering me because when I hear people retiring and they say, well, we have to move out of state because
Going to Oregon.
Exactly. Arizona, Nevada, Oregon. That bothers me, And so we have good people that instead of retiring and spend their money here, they're retiring, buying a house in Nevada and then still maintaining a residence here in Humboldt County, but it's a tax shelter, you know, and so it's
Economic reality, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reality. That's what you have to do when you're on a fixed income.
But it's,
you know?
Some of the guys we're talking about, I mean, if they have two or three homes, maybe fixed.
Maybe not.
But it's fixed a little, it's ratcheted up a little higher than what I'm accustomed to.
Right.
The thing that I see is that we lose the culture of normalcy.
Yeah.
You know, we should have those folks here.
They
should be part of our community. Whether or not they go to work at 8 in the morning or they volunteer at 10 in the morning, it doesn't matter. They're part of the social fabric of our area. When they're not here, what does it leave?
Absolutely. You know, because a lot of times, I mean, right now, I mean, I have family, wife, commitments, work commitments at home. I don't have a whole lot of time to, you know, to do all those volunteer things that I would like to do, you know. And my father and my mother are now retired, you know, and they're starting to do more and more of that kind of stuff. I'm thankful that they're still here. But yeah, it's those people that are retired and that can mentor and help the younger generation and to remind us about what made Humboldt County great and all the great things about Humboldt County. I don't want them to move out. We have too many good people moving out of Humboldt County. We want to have these people stay and raise their families here, grow old here, and so we can just continue to have a...
You can say die here. I mean, that's okay.
Die.
Part of living here. I mean, at the end of God's term. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
There have been a couple of shootings and some goofy stuff also lately.
Right.
Business is normal?
Yeah, we had a pretty good first 6 months, and our homicide rate was a little low, but now, again, marijuana season, June, July, August hit, September, and now homicides are up, shootings, home invasion robberies, and these aren't just home invasions out in rural Humboldt County. These are home invasions in Cutton, you know, and that's disturbing.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll see if we can come up with an answer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So we have got some of these, I guess the term is law-abiding pot growers in the county. You started the finding process, or planning has started the finding process. I'm not seeing anything that says how much or if there has been any monies realized from this process. What's going on?
There has been quite a bit of money, I think, that that have been generated through fines. Every new cultivation site is not supposed to grow until they actually get permitted. So if you never grew marijuana in Brian Papstein and you want to grow marijuana on your 5 acres in Petrolia, and you could start it and you can get a permit and you can do that. But you can't grow until you actually get your permit.
Signed off, like a house with a notice of occupancy.
However, if you're going through the permit process, you decide to not wait, and that you start growing, you are going to get fined. It's double fined, basically what the tax will be. So, you know, if you have 5,000 square feet of growing area, and you're going to get a $10,000 fine. For growing, and that's just your fine.
Is that a once?
That's a one-time.
So that's not the daily thing.
So now the daily thing. Now what they're doing now with planning is they are going after those people that are outside the permit process. These are the people that are doing the illegal grading, that are putting up illegal structures, all those things that they can basically fine for and so they're going after them. So, because what we used to do is we go after the most egregious grow on top of this watershed. And so the sheriff's office, code enforcement, Cal Fire, Department of Fish and Wildlife, you go there to the top one, we take down 20,000 plants. But we pass by 10 other illegal grows that maybe just have 1 to 3, 5,000 plants. Each one of those is not permitted. Each one of those has illegal grading, illegal road systems. They're pushing dirt in the creek, those kind of stuff. And so what they're going to do now is through these this imagery, through going out there and just looking, they are going to start finding these people.
So you go up to the top of the mountain? You don't stop on the way coming
down?
We
don't stop on the way down because it would take, you know, all week. We'd be out there all week for these 10 grows.
Per road, yeah.
And so, and then we only got the complaint on the top one, right? So, and we have complaints all over. So we, you know, we have to be diversified as much as we can. But these other 10 grows are going to start getting noticed, saying, you now are incurring a fine. Fix this, or it's going to be $10,000 per day per violation.
Where does the money go?
Money goes to
fine money.
Yeah, money goes to the county. The planning and building does track all that stuff.
And, general fund?
Eventually, it goes to the general fund.
Yeah, maybe at least we'll get the roads smoothed out so you can get up there faster.
Yep, or fix all the ADA issues.
Oh, man, it doesn't end. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.